Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn. Maddie Lee is in Oakland, California, after the Thunder's... Whew, for some reason, I can't remember the score right now. 123-95 win.
There you go.
Over the Golden State Warriors. Excellent Thunder performance tonight. Let's get the caveats or the yeah buts out of the way. No Steph Curry, no Draymond Green for the Warriors tonight. Those guys tend to be pretty important to their bottom line, but the Thunder took it to the Warriors tonight. They handled their waves. The Warriors always go on their standard run. And look, the Thunder didn't have Russell Westbrook the first time they played this year, and they were competitive. And tonight wasn't particularly competitive. The Warriors aren't in a great place, but, I mean, both injury-wise and emotionally right now. But, look, everybody deals with this stuff. The Thunder's dealing with this stuff, the injury part.
And yeah, emotionally they seem fine.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll get into all of that to come. But, you know, pretty impressive performance from the Thunder. You know, considering they're going into enemy territory, they're dealing with injuries of their own, and you get some pretty impressive performances across the board.
For sure. Offensively, Dennis Schroeder was definitely the story tonight. He scored 32 points and was 12 of 19 from the field, which he's coming off of a shaky performance against the Kings. No one really did great against the Kings, and he, after the game, was like, put that one on me. It was not his fault, but like, he really took it to heart and came out and hit a career high 5 3-pointers. So he was fantastic offensively and honestly defensively too. He had some really bright moments on defense, but overall I think I was more impressed by the Thunder's defense, which wasn't really, I mean, they weren't hitting shots against the Kings, but when that happens, they need to play good defense, and they've won games doing that, you know, because you know that the Thunder aren't going to be great shooters all the time. They're going to have some games where suddenly they look really good, but they can't rely on that, so they have to rely on their defense. And, you know, tonight, I mean, with Terrence Ferguson going out with an ankle sprain early on in the game, he was on Klay Thompson, and at that point you think like, oh man, like that's an important defensive player. You know, this could unravel. Not saying that losing Terrence Ferguson is going to be the end of the world, but he certainly is an important piece for shutting down the Warriors' perimeter shooting, and they really ended up having a great night. The Warriors shot just 24.1% from three, which is not very Warrior-like.
No, it was a really good defensive performance from the Thunder. You know, they've been one of the better defensive teams in the league all season, and you know, tonight I think, you know, Durant commented on this in postgame. I think they limited the Warriors to 85 shots. I think they took 23 more shots than the Warriors. And not necessarily that taking more shots. They took 83 shots. They took 23 more. Not necessarily that taking more shots than the Warriors is the recipe to success, because there's a lot of things you have to do really well to beat the Warriors. But for the Thunder to limit the Warriors to 83 shots is impressive in itself. To outshoot the Warriors from three. There's Stewart. Stewart's barking at something. He's guarding the door.
That's Stewart.
Come on. Hey. Come on, dog. Stewart. Hey, man. Come on. Pull together.
it's been a couple of times since he's been on the podcast.
Yeah. He's eager.
He knows. You know, swear, you guys, I do a good job raising my dog. It's just been a couple times.
He's over here tripping. You limit the Warriors to 83 shot attempts. You know, they shoot about their average shot attempts from three in 29, but you know, you've got Quinn Cook taking four of those. You've got Jonas Jerebko taking four of those shots. The Thunder did a good job tonight, and even though Kevin Durant gets his points, Kevin Durant always seems to get his points. He turns it over six times. They forced 17 turnovers. The Thunder did all the things they needed to do positively to win this game, and they forced the Warriors into taking some uncomfortable shots. I mean, I'm getting ripped on this on Twitter because people just hate Patrick Patterson.
Seriously, hey.
People hate Patrick Patterson right now because he's not making any shots, and I think that the not intelligent Twitter crowd seems to think that only making shots qualifies you as doing good things on the court. But Patrick Patterson has three consecutive possessions against Kevin Durant. You know, forces Kevin Durant to jump shots every time. Kevin Durant also settles for jump shots on some of those instances. But the point is, Patrick Patterson contests those jump shots. He doesn't let Kevin Durant get past him. The Warriors are seeking out that switch. The Thunder's, you know, trusting Patrick Patterson to defend Kevin Durant one-on-one at the end of the third quarter, and Kevin Durant goes 0-for-3 in those all three of those shots. The Thunder defended really well as a team, and you know, it was a combination of things. The Thunder defended well as a team, and also, you know, the Warriors took some bad shots, and having Steph Curry out there makes the game so much easier for the Warriors because he just gets you better shots, not just through himself, but you know, just through his gravity and his just how valuable he is in terms of creating space for other guys. And that's just one less guy that you have to play, like a Jerebko or, you know, a Damian Lee who played tonight, and I guess Damian Lee had 13 points, but you know, he gets outscored, and the Warriors get outscored by 20 points when he's on the floor. You know, it hurts missing Draymond Green and Steph Curry, but the Thunder defended the guys well that they had to tonight and made things difficult on Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant.
Absolutely. And when we're sitting here talking about Patrick Patterson's strong defensive performance, he's not a guy that we usually bring up. I mean, even when we're like just talking about fours, usually we're talking about how good Jeremy Grant is on defense. And so to have defensive contributions really throughout the lineup was huge for the Thunder tonight. And like you said, you know, we did make those bring up the Warriors injuries at the beginning, but you know, everyone's hurting, Thunder included. And I think it's very promising for the Thunder to have another game, like have a game come through again where they are relying on, I mean, not that they didn't do well offensively, but really the defense was what won them this game.
Yeah, and another thing that won them this game, and I really want to talk about Westbrook. And I thought that of all the years covering Westbrook, this was one of the most fascinating games I've ever seen Russell Westbrook play. And it was fascinating from the standpoint of he's played games against the Warriors where he's taken the game really personal. And you've seen Westbrook go for 30-some-odd points or 40-some-odd points and just have this explosion of points against the Warriors. And granted, again, everything we talk about tonight comes within the prism of Steph Curry and Draymond Green didn't play. Draymond Green's the heart of their defense. The Warriors' defense was terrible tonight. They couldn't guard pick and roll. They allow 66 points in the paint to the Thunder. They give up 18 offensive rebounds. You could just run off all the things that are wrong with the Warriors' defense right now. Their effort wasn't very good. They had a short burst in the beginning of the third quarter where their effort was good, but other than that, their effort wasn't very good against the Thunder. You can run off all the excuses you want for the Warriors tonight, but it would have been very easy for Russell Westbrook to look across the court, see a guy like Quinn Cook starting and say, Or see even a Klay Thompson who he's roasted before. You know, Klay Thompson hasn't stopped Russell Westbrook in the past 2 years. I mean, Russell Westbrook's probably averaging 28, 30 points a game against the Warriors in the last couple of years. But I thought the way that Russell Westbrook played tonight was so fascinating. It was probably the best 5 of 15 game I've ever seen him play from the standpoint of he immediately recognized that when Dennis Schroeder came into the game, and Schroeder actually struggled in the first quarter. I don't think he had a particularly good offensive first quarter.
No.
But as soon as Schroeder gets in the game, Westbrook gives up the ball. He says, bring the ball up. Same thing with George. He gives the ball to Paul George, says, bring the ball up. I think there was a string of like four consecutive possessions where Westbrook immediately gives the ball up off an inbounds or off of a defensive rebound and just gets up court, lets Schroeder initiate the offense. I thought that was so important from a guy, Russell Westbrook, who we know is such a guy who likes control, who has controlled this team for however many years, to understand, and it was clear what he was doing. He was like, Dennis Schroeder, get yourself going any way possible. And he ceded control to Dennis Schroeder in that toward the end of the first quarter, start the second quarter. Even when they got back on the floor in the second quarter, he was giving Schroeder the ball, and that's when Schroeder started getting going. And Westbrook let that get established first. And I thought it was just a beautifully orchestrated game from Russell Westbrook from that standpoint. Not just him having the ball in his hands, but like the mental message that sends to your teammates, like, look, man, you're coming off 3 of 17. You get the ball in your hands, you get going, and then we'll figure out the rest from there. And then once Russell Westbrook did get the ball in his hands, he was finding those open shooters. He wasn't forcing his offense. There's always going to be times where Westbrook takes some bad jump shots, and he took some tonight. But there were some times where he took some great jump shots. I think the one three-pointer he hit was a beautiful catch and shoot off a Paul George pass. He took some bad three-pointers. He always takes bad three-pointers. But for the most part, I thought his offense was really controlled. I thought he made a concerted effort to get Dennis Schroeder established. And then once Dennis Schroeder was established, he still didn't force the issue trying to get his own offense. He said, look, we've got Dennis Schroeder rolling. We've got Steven Adams rolling. Dennis Schroeder's doing a good job of facilitating offense. And once that got established, I think Westbrook let the game just come naturally. And it was so different and encouraging to see from him as the guy who's been the leader of this team for so long.
Yeah, and he finishes the night with a triple-double.
He did. He did have a triple-double.
Honestly, the moment that stood out to me, which such a small moment – wasn't even like a pivotal part in the game, but early on, I don't remember the exact circumstances, but he ends up with the ball in his hand, only one on that side of the court, and he so easily could have had a massive dunk, you know, some sort of like message sending play, but he didn't. He just slowly went up to the basket, put in the layup, got the 2 points, and it was just such a like calm, controlled and collected moment where he wasn't drawing attention to what he was doing. He was just going to get the points and where he could.
No, I thought it was a really, really kind of a statement performance from Westbrook in the most interesting of ways that we're not used to seeing a statement performance from Russell Westbrook. And you got a lot of people, I don't even know why I'm referencing these idiots, but you got a lot of people on Twitter who are like, oh, Westbrook's playing crappy. He's not shooting well. He's not taking over the game. It's like, yo, like point guards, like it's like
point guards facilitate.
Yeah. Like point guards are supposed to have like a grasp on the pulse of the game. And like Westbrook had a total grasp on like how this game was supposed to be played. And I thought he played it beautifully. And like, we talked about this before on the podcast, like before you arrived, Maddie, about habits. And I think that not just Russell Westbrook, but I think that Kevin Durant had bad habits when he was on the Thunder. But those guys were so good at what they did that they were able to overcome some of those habits because, you know, Russell Westbrook was so great athletically, so great getting to the rack. Kevin Durant was such an efficient scorer, and he was a guy at 7 feet who could just shoot over anybody, even if it was a bad shot. You know, Paul George is the same way. He's such a good scorer, and he's so talented that even when he takes bad shots, he can still make them. And then that confidence kind of continues throughout the game, and you think, well, I can make any shot because I just hit that tough shot in front of that guy's face. So everybody gets all hyped and excited when Paul George goes on this scoring binge, but it's really not a good shot he's taking in front of Kevin Durant when he just made a step back 22-footer in front of Kevin Durant. It's not really a good shot. Like, you want to see those moments of development in a guy's game where, and this is not saying that Russell Westbrook is going to play this way every night. Like, if Steph Curry and Draymond Green are out there, Russell Westbrook's probably going to have to take some different shots. He's probably going to have to take more shots. He's probably going to have to, you know, be more assertive on offense because he's going to have to compensate for the fact that Steph Curry's probably shooting the ball really efficiently on the other end. But, you know, leaning on your defense, you know, making the right pass, you know, finding the correct guy to take the correct shot within the flow of the offense. Like, that's the habitual stuff that needs to happen that is going to make the Thunder a better team once it gets farther down the line. And you'd hope that that would continue. So when they get to, you know, game 76 or the start of the playoffs, this is something that's more natural to Russell Westbrook as opposed to just saying, okay, I have to put everything on my shoulders and I have to do everything or I have to be in control of every single possession. I thought that this was the textbook kind of game for not how Russell Westbrook is going to play all the time, but how he needs to play more often. Because there's more than one way to beat the Warriors. You don't have to be the driving force beating the Warriors every night, every time you play them. You don't have to be the hammer. You can be, you know, right, the guy handing the hammer to the guy who hits the nail. Dennis Schroeder was the guy with the hammer tonight, but Russell Westbrook handed him the hammer. He was like, look, hammer the nail. Terrible late night analogies. I'm sorry, y'all, but I hope that made sense. Like that, there were a lot of kind of, you know, Russell ceding control moments tonight that I thought were really important and significant. And I think a great segue into like ceding control and the significance of the game was the third quarter. And I know we talked a ton about third quarters this season, and I think that the third quarter is so important, not just for the Thunder from a Thunder perspective, but the Warriors have been a great third quarter team throughout their entire run. That's when they usually make that run and blast teams out of the water. And tonight, the Thunder didn't win the third quarter in terms of points. I think that the Warriors had 33 to the Thunder's 27. But every time the Warriors made that run, the Thunder did not panic. They just played their game. They played offense. They ran offense. It made some big shots. You know, Paul George took some quick threes, but they were, you know, they were in transition in the flow when the Warriors' defense wasn't set. But Russell Westbrook, I've seen him so many times get into that back and forth with the Warriors, particularly in the third quarter, and that's when the game gets away from them. But tonight, I thought that it was a masterful third quarter, even though they didn't win it in terms of points. I think Klay Thompson hit a few shots coming out of halftime. But that was a real composure test in that third quarter for the Thunder. And they didn't blink. They just said, okay, let's just continue to keep playing the way we're playing. And they were able to maintain their lead. And I thought that it was so important for them to battle through those waves of Warriors offense.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're so used to the Warriors coming out and doing that and taking over third quarters and winning because of that, that like Warriors come out and they go on a 8-2 run, which isn't that impressive. It's like barely a run. But that starts happening, and immediately it was like, okay, here it goes. Here's the Warriors about to do their thing. And then they didn't. And the, you know, to be able to keep the Warriors from, you know, doing their thing, that's how you win games.
No, it was I thought it was really impressive just the way that they handled the game. Not necessarily the final result or the final score. Not necessarily that Westbrook had 13 assists or not necessarily that you know, they beat him as badly as they did in terms of the final score, but just the way they handled certain situations and the way they played, I thought was so different than the way we've seen them play against the Warriors in certain instances where, you know, Paul George and Russell Westbrook have monster games. it was just a it was more of a collective. It was like a timeshare of just of good basketball play. And I thought it was really impressive. The Thunder, they get a lot of guys, a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries going on here. And it's so funny because you just get Terrence Ferguson back. You get Nerlens Noel back. And then those are the first two guys
to
have some issues. You know, you talked to Ferguson today about coming back from the birth of his daughter. Great moment for him. And then
he was so happy. He was grinning from ear to ear for the entire interview. And we're talking about, like, you know, we asked him about how it, you know, obviously started out with the baby, and he's smiling. He's talking about how it's the best day in his life. And then we move on to talk about basketball and about how he's getting prepared, and how he mentioned, like, he's going to get to take a nap without hearing crying. So that's going to be great for getting ready for the game tonight. And through the whole thing, like, talking about a ton of flights and not getting any sleep and back to basketball, he's just so clearly just so happy and over the moon and sleep deprived.
Yeah, and then he sprains his ankle in the first quarter.
And then he sprains his ankle.
Like, it's just right away. It's not like the Thunder's trying to get hurt, man. It's just, you know, Dennis Schroeder elbows Nerlens Noel on the side of the face. You know, and then you get the worst of it all. You get Hamidou Diallo coming down with his crazy injury, and it's like you think it's Russell Westbrook or Andre Robertson all over again, and it seemed closer to a Robertson type deal because Diallo's got to get on a stretcher, and I mean, you're watching this guy writhe in pain underneath the basket. I could sense the mood just on television or just looking at it on the internet. I can't imagine what it was like in the arena.
Yeah, no, that was. Yeah, I mean, you talk all the time about arenas falling quiet when their player goes down, but it was. Yeah, no, it was definitely quiet. I mean, you watched the guy. I honestly didn't even notice the play itself because then the Warriors or the Thunder had the ball again and they're on the other end of the court. And then you realize, like, hey, Hami's still down there and he's on the ground and, like, writhing in pain, pulls himself off the court, like, slithering on his stomach. And, you know, they finally get a pause in game action and go check him out. And I mean, the reactions from the players themselves too, you'd see guys going over and looking at him. And then, I think Dennis Schroeder was probably one of the ones who stood out the most, where he's just like standing on the perimeter of that scrum of people who's trying to help Hami. And he's just got his hands over his head. I'm sure on TV you got to see some of their expressions, which I didn't get to see, but you've got guys, you know, going over and checking on him and talking together and just clearly very worried. Because, I mean, especially the way he looked, the way he did it, at least in real time, it looked for a second like, was that a knee? And I think that was everyone's biggest worry. But it turns out the Warriors training staff has eliminated all severe injuries. So for anyone wondering, that rolls out things like a broken leg and an ACL tear. And he was walking around in a boot and crutches. And Paul George, when we were talking to him about it, called it an ankle sprain, said it's you know, basically comforting to hear that it wasn't a knee, it was just an ankle sprain. So he'll be reevaluated tomorrow, and we'll get more details then. But really, by far, best case scenario for what that looked like.
Yeah, the thing that's frustrating about it is we haven't really seen the Thunder at full strength for any significant string of games. I mean, I guess we had a little sample size of when Westbrook was back for his first stint, but, you know, we've had somebody injured at every juncture during the Thunder season so far. It's just been hard to get all these guys on the floor at the same time. It'd be nice to see them all together at once, but
actually evaluate them as a full team.
Yeah, and just for a stretch, you'd like to see Abrines and Westbrook and Schroeder. You'd like to see more of those lineups that you saw against, the close against Charlotte. That lineup was devastating with Abrines and with Paul George at the four. You'd like to see some different combinations more, but it's just hard because the Thunder just hasn't been able to align these guys together just for circumstances that are just kind of out of their control.
Forget about Andre too.
And Andre Robertson just hasn't even been a factor in this season any whatsoever because he's still coming back from his injury. So it's almost going to be like this season's going to be broken up into different parts. It's going to be this first part where you've had babies and injuries, and then you're going to have this second part where you're having the reintegration of Andre Robertson, and then you're going to have this third part, hopefully, where you have everybody fully healthy and kind of firing all together going into the playoffs. That's your hope. But the way this season started, it seems like it's going to be a challenge for all these guys to be together all at once. And some of this stuff is just freak stuff. Like you can't really have an explanation for all of these ankle sprains these guys are going through and the way they're turning their ankles going up for rebounds. You can't tell a guy to stop jumping.
If they all have like hamstring injuries or something, then that's when you start thinking like, are they doing something weird conditioning wise? Or is something going on in practice? Which isn't always the case when you have a bunch of hamstrings, but if it's all muscular and all in a like similar place, that's when you start thinking like, okay, maybe they're doing something in their preparation that is contributing to some of these. But things like turning ankles, it's just like it happens, and it's not like they're doing anything in practice to bring that on. Or getting five stitches in your face, which is what happened to Nerlens today. He came back without the glasses too, so I don't know what happened to those. But Nerlens got, he kind of mentioned, got elbowed in the face, left, came back, had five stitches in that time.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on the orange sleeves on white jerseys?
Honestly, this might be...
Don't be afraid.
In college?
Don't be afraid.
Yeah. Okay, so in college, my colors were orange and black. And when my freshman year, I was like, oh, this is gross. We have to wear so much orange. And by my senior year, I just leaned all the way in. So I'm a fan of orange, which I never thought I'd say in my life, but Lewis and Clark College brainwashed me. I like them.
I thought it was a fantastic combination. I thought it brought a different look to an old look. We're used to seeing that white, and we're not used to seeing that white on the road, which was different too, but it made the white pop. It was different. And when I immediately turned on the game, I was like, oh, that's different. That looks nice. And it was a great combination. And I like how those guys, they all sync up and wear all the same stuff. And that's always good.
Me and Gallo, or I was joking to Nick Gallo, the sideline reporter / in-house writer, right?
Yeah, OKC
Thunder. Correct titles. That you looked at the guy's tights, and it seemed like the longer you'd been in the league, the more tights you got. Because you had Hami wasn't wearing them, Ferguson wasn't wearing them, Jerry Grant just had one side. So, yeah. And then guys like Westbrook and Paul George had the full orange tights.
Yeah, it was a good look. I thought it was a good look. I think they should break it out more often. I liked it.
Leggings is probably a better way to put it.
Yeah, the compression pants. That's the term.
Yeah, they're not out there in pantyhose. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, a really, really good game from Schroeder. Really good game from Westbrook. We didn't really talk about Paul George and Steven Adams. I thought that, you know, Paul George had a pretty efficient game. You know, interestingly enough, the Thunder only had 10 turnovers, and that's incredible. And that's a combination of things. That's the Warriors not having Draymond Green, because they weren't able to. I didn't think they were able to apply the ball pressure that they usually do, because Green is so good at kind of directing their defense. He's that back end to where guys can be a little bit more forceful at the front with their guards and their ball pressure. But you know, the ball pressure was a thing that they couldn't do. And then, you know, the Thunder, some of their turnovers are frankly just passing into tight windows on drives. So if they didn't have some of those turnovers, I don't think the Warriors really caused many steals on their own. There weren't a lot of just the Warriors making plays on their own to get the ball away from the Thunder. There were a couple of offensive fouls, and there were a few times where Paul George threw a pass that was in a tight window, or Dennis Schroeder tried to do something fancy like behind the back. There was one time Paul George threw a no-look pass in transition that got broken up, where he probably should have just, you know, thrown a simple pass or just went all the way to the rack. Dennis Schroeder tried to throw a fancy pass. There were a couple of offensive fouls. That's four turnovers right there. I don't think.
And there was one time where Hamadou Diallo probably should have lost the ball, but it turned into an accidental.
Yeah, it turns into a Paul George. Yeah, it turns into a behind the back pass for a Paul George dunk. Like the Warriors,
awesome.
The Warriors personally themselves, they weren't very disruptive defensively. I don't think they did anything to really put a lot of pressure on the Thunder. Besides maybe the first couple of minutes of the third quarter, where it looked pretty clear that the Warriors said, we got to ratchet up our defense if we're going to get out of this game alive. They came with it in the beginning of the third quarter. The Thunder kind of brushed that aside and kept doing what they were doing. And the Warriors' defense just did not put a lot of pressure on the Thunder tonight.
Yeah. I mean, you see that with the Thunder shot not great in the first half, and then they ended up with not too terrible numbers. And I was going to make a point with this, but now I'm running on Pacific time and I've completely discombobulated. So I'll hand it back to you.
Oh my goodness gracious. they really just didn't have any resistance. They're a completely different defensive team with Draymond Green in there, and it's shown in the last three games that they haven't had him. I think they're giving up 113 points per 100. They went on that Texas road trip and went 0-3. I think they had Green in that first game, but they still lost. You know, the Texas team sweep them. They come back home. You think that they can get some kind of defensive integrity coming back home, but you know that doesn't really help either. And you know, Paul George is a big part of that. Obviously, Dennis Schroeder with his 32 points, super efficient. But, you know, Steven Adams against a guy in Damian Jones, who was pretty good against Steven Adams in the first game. You know, the Warriors change up their starting lineup. They go with Damian Jones, who's an athletic guy, 7-footer himself, who they, in theory, can give Steven Adams some problems. Steven Adams played a pretty great game against him, and it went up against that guy early and went at him. I mean, he finishes with 20-11 and two assists. I thought Steven Adams was really good tonight too.
Oh, he was. I mean, we have three guys who scored 20 plus points. That's a pretty good recipe for success. And I mean, if you're gonna get the Warriors at any time, this is a pretty good time to get them. Between the injuries and then this losing streak that they're on, they've got a lot to figure out. They will like, I don't think that's anyone's concern, but I mean, that can swing both ways too. I mean, they're going to swing back at some point. So you don't want to be that game if you're a opponent of the Warriors. And so obviously, as they keep going through this losing streak, eventually someone's going to get it. But yeah, I mean, like we said, Thunder played good enough defense, and it just kind of unraveled there for the Warriors in the fourth quarter. They only scored 16 points. Like,
that's terrible. Thunder got out on that 14-0 run, and the Warriors pretty much just they pretty much packed it in from there. You know, Schroeder gets it started, and then, you know, Westbrook kind of polishes it off. You know, when Schroeder goes out, and then I think TLC came in briefly, and then Westbrook gets on a roll where he's dishing off to Grant and Adams, and everybody kind of gets a piece in that little run there. And then next thing you know, the lead's out to like 18, and then it's like, all right. And then the Warriors and the Thunder make mass subs, and it's over from there. But it didn't take very long for it to get out of hand. I think it was probably a stretch of about 5 minutes that the game really exploded. They went on a 14-0 run in about 3 minutes and 45 seconds, and then they got it to 18 with 5 minutes, with about 5 minutes left, and then that was a wrap. But, you know, impressive performance from the Thunder. They get a day off, get a day to kind of reevaluate Hamidi Diallo, Terrence Ferguson, who was in a boot, by the way, you said, right, after the game?
Yeah, he's in a boot. He didn't have crutches as far as I saw, but it is a left ankle sprain. Left?
Left, correct.
So they'll play that by ear. We should have updates on at least Hami tomorrow. You know, I don't, until they have a timeline or anything on Ferguson, I don't expect them to actually have anything. And honestly, might not have a timeline. They might just
they don't give timelines, they just go
day to day.
Yeah, they don't give timelines
until they're back. You're day to day until you're not. So yeah,
I guess
a lot of
your potential starter against Charlotte could be TLC. You could,
yeah.
I mean, just based on attrition, you could have TLC starting at shooting guard, unless they want to slide Schroeder into the starting lineup, which,
or if know. Alex gets healthy, I could see him sliding into the starting lineup too. But that's a quick turnaround, and he has looked real bad. I mean, when you have a guy who is determined to come back, and then he's ruled out for the second half and then ruled out for the next game, like, that's not a good sign. Hopefully no one he's around, including us selfishly, gets whatever he has, because it's been a while. It does not seem like fun.
No, they need that guy healthy, and you know, hopefully he'll be ready for Charlotte. It's an interesting back-to-back coming up. You know, Charlotte's playing really well. Kemba Walker, you know, shooting the lights out. He's coming off of a 60-point and a 40-point game in his last couple of games. And, you know, you got a Denver team that has played the Thunder well in the last couple of years. I remember when I first got on the beat, the Thunder would kind of brush Denver aside, and that would be a game that, you know, they'd beat Denver in three quarters, and then Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook wouldn't have to play the last quarter. And then, you know, in the past 2 years, the script has certainly flipped on the Denver Thunder rivalry. Those young guards have matured. Jokic is one of the best bigs in the league. That's going to be a great game on the second night of a back-to-back for the Thunder on Saturday. So hopefully they're not too they're not too full on turkey, and they've got some better ankles, and Alex Abrines is halfway healthy, and hopefully Hamidou Diallo is not out for very long, and neither is Terrence Ferguson. But you know, good win for the Thunder against the Warriors is always a good win, particularly impressive on the road, dealing with some adversity of injuries, getting Schroeder back on track Westbrook, you know, really playing a controlled game with his offense still not where he wants it to be. But really good performance from the Thunder. One of their best wins of the season so far. And, you know, this is the kind of test you were looking for from them. Even though, again, Golden State didn't have Steph Curry and Draymond Green, it doesn't mean they're still not a dangerous team. Kevin Durant's obviously Kevin Durant. Klay Thompson's Klay Thompson. The Thunder is going to slowly start playing some better teams. And those better teams, they're going to have some great performances. And then tonight they got a complete performance from the entire unit. So these are the ones that are going to stand out throughout the season. And, you know, all of a sudden, Thunder's up there in the standings around the top four in the league. So definitely, I'd say a successful road trip for the Thunder, even in the game against Sacramento where they had an opportunity to win at the end when they don't play well. They're still not playing completely decrepit games like they were last season in certain instances. So good performance for the Thunder on the road, and I guess we'll see what happens in the next couple of days. Sure. But thanks for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast, y'all. Apologize for the dogs who are still making awkward noises.
I swear Stuart's like a fantastic guy in most circumstances. Just tonight he wanted his voice to be heard. My bad.
He saw an animal outside. That's all it was, really. Gets excited about the animals. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, y'all. Thanks for listening, downloading, subscribing on Apple Podcasts. Rate it. Tell us what you think. And share it this Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we will see you Friday night after Charlotte.